Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport 2, myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good evening. If you love your boxing and you love your MMA, then obviously this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra, where myself and the great Gareth A. Davis will bring you all the latest from the world of combat sports. And boy, oh boy, we've got a show for you this evening. We're going to recap an incredible night of upsets in Sheffield as both Kid Galahad and Terry Harper lost their world titles in fantastic fashion. WBA featherweight champion Lee Wood will join us to discuss his upcoming fight with Michael Conlon, and we'll get his take on Kiko Martinez's win this weekend. Lee Wood was in the studio for The Zone. He watched the fights. He saw exactly what happened. We'll also be joined live by Liam Williams to discuss his upcoming fight, massive fight this one, and got Chris Eubank Jr. December 11th. And we're going to discuss the latest from MMA as well. Leon Edwards had a fight cancelled yet again. Cyborg does what Cyborg does, dominant in Bellator. And Conor McGregor and Chael Sonnen exchange insults on social media. Don't go anywhere. Busy show this evening. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Galahad here making the first defence of his hard-won IBF featherweight title.
When you look at this stylistically, will it be the bull versus the matador?
Harper defending her WBC super featherweight title.
Oh!
Oh, and a big overhand right from Kiko Martinez. And suddenly the man who said at 35 he was still capable of winning a world title has produced a dramatic comeback here, Harper. At the end of this contest, but she walks onto her right hand and she stands virtually stock still in the center of the ring, and referee Mark Lyson decides that Terry Harper has to be saved from further punishment. Everything had gone the way of Kid Galahad across the first four rounds until a highlight reel right hand and another one, and this time it is all over. Two pinpoint right hands, and Alicia Baumgardner of the United States is now the WBC super featherweight champion. And the reign, the short reign of Kid Galahad as the world featherweight champion is over. It's coming round like a
shockwave. Marcus McDonald's having a look. As he can, he's got it! Lee Wood has the night of his life here. Fantastic. In the Madison Square Garden. What a victory! And his dreams have come true at Fight Camp. Maybe the shame will open your eyes, come
around like a shockwave. Yeah, it certainly was a shockwave, a massive shockwave in Sheffield on the weekend. I was there. Look, I have to be honest with you, when that card was first announced, it was, you know, a lukewarm reception to it. It was like, oh, Kiko Martinez is 35. Every time he stepped up at world level, yes, he was a former super bantamweight champion, but every time he stepped up, he's lost. That's true. It's a true fact. Some of those decisions have been a bit controversial. The Zelfa Barrett one springs to mind, but he's lost. And Baumgardner, not a lot of people knew too much about Baumgardner. They really didn't. They know about her now. So, yeah, it was a shock. Let's welcome in the great Gareth A. Davis, who joins us now. Gareth, great to have you. Great to have you back. We missed you last week. You're here now. Gareth, quick question to start off. Look, you've covered the sport of boxing for many, many years. Has there ever been two world title defeats on the same card and upsets in a British ring before? of this era, anyway, at least.
Now you're asking me, I'd have to look back in the record back books for that. I'll try and check it out as we go along on the show. But I can't remember a night when two visitors from overseas caused such a dramatic turn of events. You know, Terry Harper, like you say, Alicia Baumgartner. I think we didn't know what Terry Harper was going to be like after two hand surgeries and a year out.
Agreed.
Back at the arena where, of course, she won the world title. And also the Galahad knockout, Kid Galahad, Barry Awards knockout, just came out of the blue. But what it shows is the tenacity and terror that fighters, when they really bring it, can deliver. And Kiko Martinez, you know, over 50 fights as a veteran, really proved that he is still a force to be reckoned with. And I know we'll talk about that in great length in the next segment, but it was extraordinary. And you know what? It's so busy, Addy, in boxing at the moment. You didn't mention Terence Crawford and Sean Porter fighting for the world welterweight
title. Look at this. I can only apologize to both. I can't believe I've just missed it out. And that's a crazy one as well, because look, Sean, we know Sean will go up against anyone, a dog. I mean, eventually, I think we'll look back at Sean's career and think, what an incredible career. And Terence Crawford needs that A-list win, doesn't he, against a live A-list opponent. And you're right, it's going to be a fantastic fight on the weekend. We've got a busy show. We've got Lee Wood waiting in the wings to speak to us as well. Obviously, current WBA featherweight champion. He was there. He saw Kid Galahad get knocked out. Big fight for him against Michael Conlon coming up. We don't know where yet. Potentially, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. Well, he's got a big following there with the Irish, of course. And Conlon's taken an unusual route. He had that terrible decision at the Olympics in Rio. We know the finger salute afterwards.
You can
went
say
down.
It.
Bob Arum noticed it, signed him. And it's been a great rise for him so far. This is a great fight. Lee Wood's got very heavy hands, very aggressive fighter. Had a brilliant performance against Kan Shu, of course. He's a very, very clever guy to be fighting right now, because he's under the tutelage of Ben Davison, who's very smart, very clever with his fighters. Conlon is a terrific exponent in the ring, very clever boxer, knows his way around the ring, brilliant ring generalship. This is made for the bull against the matador, and I cannot wait for that contest.
Yeah, and I just love the opportunity for Lee as well. I mean, Lee, it's been a long career. It's been at times a tough career, and you know, you're fighting, and I don't want to get into someone's purse here, but he's going to get a huge amount of money for this one. Life-changing money, and I'm just happy that he gets the opportunity. It's a world title as far as I'm concerned. It really is, because I don't know what's going on with Leo Santa Cruz, and the WBA need to sort that nonsense out, but great opportunity for him. Great opportunity for Michael Conlon as well. So look, crack and fight, and that's what we want to see. We're getting it in our unboxing. We're finally getting the matchups we want. Another great matchup. We're going to speak to this man. We've not got one guest. We've got two guests for you this afternoon. Liam Williams is going to join us. He's got, could be fight of the year against Christian Bain Jr. If they both, you mentioned Matador versus the Bull. I mean, this one's going to be brick versus brick. They're going to meet in the center of the ring and they're going to go for it. I can't wait for it. He's going to join us. That's a great fight, Gareth, as well.
Yeah, look, it's the irresistible force against the immovable object.
There you go.
It turns up. Yeah, it turns up, and he. It's a, look, styles make fights, and this is one of those stylistic matchups. That you, as soon as you heard that it was signed, I mean, I was speaking to Williams a couple of weeks ago, and he was waiting for the T's to be crossed and the I's to be dotted on the final contract for that. And it's brilliant that that's taking place. It's going to be. It can only deliver as a fight. It can only deliver thrills and excitement. Of course, Clarissa Shields making her debut, British debut on that card as well. She's just signed, they say, a seven-figure deal, multi-fight deal with Boxer and Sky Sports. That's terrific as well. She's up against another formidable fighter, actually, from Eastern Europe in Emma Kozin. So really looking forward to a brilliant end to the year, Addy. There are fights coming thick and fast in boxing and MMA right now.
No, yeah, 100%. Going back to the Clarissa Shields fight, just the kind of the birth now, and I always feel like it started again with female boxing, and this is no disrespect to the ladies that fought in the 90s and the Ann Wolfs of the world, for example. No disrespect to them, but I almost feel like since Katie Taylor kind of started or at least turned pro, we're starting to see so many good girls now come out of the Olympics. And you saw it with that Baumgartner. We saw it with Jamie Mitchell recently in that fight against Shannon Courtney. It's like the levels are changing so quick. It almost reminds me a bit of MMA, and obviously it's a sport you covered as well, where the levels just jumped up so quick. and you're getting people that are training MMA rather than training an individual discipline. I feel like that's with the same with female boxing now.
Yeah, exactly. The paradigm's shifting very, very quickly. There's an acceleration in perhaps the standards that are rising all the time. It's brilliant to see. It's absolutely thrilling. I thought Terry Harper looked off the pace against Baumgartner.
Yeah.
Looked very listless. It was a brilliant stoppage by Mark Lyons, the referee, actually, by the way. He noticed straight away that Harper was knocked sideways and was clearly doing the chicken dance on her feet.
Mm.
And was really not... She needs to be protected from herself. He dived in, stopped those punches coming in. It was a brilliant stoppage. But Baumgartner looked poised, on point, precision, and power at the end in that fourth round with that huge right hand. A smaller woman as well. Terry Harper's going to take time, I understand, to really think about it. But yeah, a tremendous performance. And like you say, there'll be a lot of upsets.
Yeah, there will be. Talking of upsets, we mentioned MMA there, didn't we? Leon Edwards. Another disappointing couple of weeks for Leon Edwards. Obviously, that fight against Jorge Masvidal, and he's been wanting that fight since that incident they had. I think it was at the O2 Arena, wasn't it? Backstage at the O2 Arena, what, 3 years ago now? Such a long time ago. That fight's now off. Masvidal injured. Leon Edwards now looks like he might sit it out, which I understand why he would do that if he's promised the Usman fight, but it feels like he just needs to stay busy, if I'm honest with you. Obviously, look, upset for Leon Edwards. If you were in his team, what would you do? Would you sit it out and wait? Or would you take another top 10 guy? What would you do?
What, like a Khamzat Chimaev?
Oh, God, I don't know about him.
We'll talk about that in detail.
I don't know about him.
It's a difficult one to really pinpoint at the moment because, you know, like you say, sixth cancelled fight in a year. It's very difficult for Leon Edwards. He's not a fashionable guy. He's not one of those guys who's got hundreds of thousands of social media followers and gets on there and... you know, really promotes himself. He's got a very low-key attitude to social media. And, you know, that does really elevate people at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think he sets it out. I think he wants his fight with Kamaru Usman. I think it's obviously they fought before, but he's a very, very improved fighter, Leon Edwards, increment by increment. And I don't know, I wouldn't rush in. It's a shame because I think Jorge Masvidal, him, as you say, the sucker punch in London, I was there that night, asked the questions at the press conference, was it assault? How did they deal with it? You know what? Well, because it didn't happen within the remit of the...
Yeah.
Of it was, you know, he stepped away from a post-fight interview to give him a slap and with his hands around his back, it was very unsporting. But, you know, Jorge is a street guy. He came up fighting, you know, on the streets. Yep. Those were his first fights organised in multi-story car parks around the back of McDonald's. And, you know, he's grown up in a very different street atmosphere, very proud man, and couldn't back down in that moment. Like you say, it was set up perfectly for a fight between those two. I was very, very excited. And Leon wanted to put the record straight, but do it in the octagon in the UFC. And it's not going to happen for now. It's a real shame.
Yeah, real shame. And you kind of wonder if it ever is going to happen between those two. It needs to. So many still good fights in the welterweight division. We'll discuss those a bit later. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 in partnership with DAZN. Remember, it's your boxing, your way, DAZN game change. Still to come, we will be joined by Liam Williams ahead of his fight with Chris Eubank Jr. And we'll discuss what next for Britain's Leon Edwards in the UFC after his fight with Jorge Masvidal was cancelled, making it 6-6, by the way, cancellations in a year. But up next, we'll be speaking to Lee Wood. We'll get his take on Kid Galahad and talk about his upcoming fight. Big fight for him against Michael Conlon. Ow, ow.
Lee for niggas and records.
Has put a punctuation on a fabulous performance. Marcus McDonald's having a look. As you can, he stopped it. Lee Wood has the night of his life here.
Fantastic.
In the Madison Square Garden. What a victory. He embraces Ben Davison. And his dreams have come true at Fight Camp.
Good evening, you are listening to The Final Extra here on TalkSport 2. How good was that package, by the way? What? Who done that? Fantastic. Is it the work experience kid that done that? Wow, really good stuff there. Adil Adipo here with the great Gareth A. Davis. Now let's take a look back to the big fights lined up this weekend in partnership with DAZN.
Big Fight Review on TalkSport 2 with DAZN.
Your boxing, your way. Download the DAZN app or visit DAZN.com.
We are going to speak to WBA featherweight world champion Lee Wood in a couple of minutes, so hang on, it's coming. Before we do that though, Gareth, I know that you spoke to Kid Galahad in the aftermath of that defeat on Sunday. Firstly, how is he? Because it was a couple of really heavy, heavy knockdowns, especially the second one where I know they went and bought oxygen in the ring as well. I saw his tweets and he is okay, but you would have spoken to him. How's he doing? And did he talk about plans for the rematch or what he wants to do in 2022?
He did indeed, Addie. I spoke to him on Sunday afternoon, late Sunday afternoon. He'd had a meeting on Sunday morning. He didn't go to hospital. As you say, two massive right hands knocked him out. Well, he was hurt at the end of fifth, knocked out the first punch of six, that kind of winging right hand, almost like a bolo kind of come hook from Kiko Martinez, who really, really did the damage. He'd met John and Dominic Ingle on Sunday morning. They'd had a talk through things. He felt well. He didn't go to hospital. But he said, I feel absolutely devastated. I feel like I took my eye off the ball just for a split second. And this is what happens in boxing. And I won't be the first and I won't be the last who this happens to. And I think the two salient things that he said to me were that he wants the rematch as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care where it goes either. And that might mean after this homecoming fight that went horribly wrong, of course, that he may go to Spain, to Kiko Martinez's native land for the rematch. And of course, Eddie Hearn, his promoter, has got Kerman Lejarraga, who's a brilliant fighter. And he's also got Sandor Martin, who's had a recent victory over Mikey Garcia. So they could easily put on a fantastic card with that burgeoning empire he's pushing out into Europe under his DAZN broadcast deal. So it wouldn't surprise me to see that fight go to Spain. But as Kid Galahad said, I want it as soon as possible and I'm prepared to go anywhere. And let's be fair to him, up to that fifth round, and upsets do happen in boxing, he was literally delivering a masterclass.
Yeah, it was almost easy work, and it could have been over in the first round. I mean, there was a time when he had Kiko in the neutral corner, and he was unloading a couple of shots, and Kiko's legs buckled, and I was like, okay, this is going to be an early night, and you know the Pan fans aren't going to be too happy because they still want to see a scrap, regardless of if their favourite wins or loses. There's been some criticism, small, but some pockets of people saying maybe the fight should have been stopped after the first knockdown in the corner. You're seeing Dominic Ingle give Kid instructions. It looks like Kid's not even hearing those instructions, by the way. Watching it back a few times. I think you still continue the fight. What's your thoughts though, Gareth?
Well, I mean, he was fine to go out there. He said, I felt a bit kind of all over the place in between rounds. And I don't remember a lot of it. But the thing is, Dominic knows Barry incredibly well. He's known him since he was a young kid. And it was a world title defence. And it just showed the next round that maybe they should have pulled him out. But, you know, they went through with it. He's not horribly hurt. He feels fine and he just wants to get back into the action.
Final question with regards to Kid Galahad before we get Lee Wood on. The weight. Every time I see him at the weigh-ins, he almost looks like he's about to give over, Kid Galahad. I don't know how much weight he cuts on the day of the weigh-ins, but it looks like an incredible amount. Obviously, he does rehydrate, and he rehydrates very well up until the IBF limits, at least anyway. Is there, if he doesn't go for the rematch, and look, you're telling me he will, and it probably will be a case if he goes, should he be looking at going to super feather? Because he does look really, really drained at the weight every time I see him.
You know, it's funny you say that. I tried to wrestle Kid Galahad on the grounds of Matchroom when they had their launch with DAZN. And he's a very strong hench. He's actually thicker set than you think. No, I think he lives the life. He goes to bed early, doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't overeat. And he literally does live the life. And I just think he wants to get back. I don't think the weight was anything to do with it. I just think he got caught flush. And as he says, he took his eye off the ball. And as the man who's joining us knows, you cannot take your eye off the ball. And Lee Wood knows that very well. He's a man with his both eyes on all the balls juggling at the moment, I imagine.
He certainly is. Lee, you were there. As Gareth said, you were watching that fight. You're working for DAZN. How shocked were you, Lee, in seeing that?
Extremely shocked. Extremely. Felt sorry for him. You know, he was completely bossing the fight, no problem. And I think that's where the problem was. We got a little bit complacent. He was finding it too easy. Martinez took technical away from him. That wasn't just a lucky shot. He sent about five straight right hands before that. Mm. One straight right hand, then a little bit of a scuffle. Straight right, straight right, straight right. And the last one he threw, and he looped it round as Barry went to parry the straight right. You know, he did set it up. And yeah, Barry probably did get complacent.
Yeah, he certainly did. Lee, you know when you see a defeat like that, obviously, look, you've got your own work coming up against Michael Conlon, and we're going to talk about that. But do you almost sort of see a big payday just go down the drain? Because a lot of, look, you guys have had back and forths, you and Kid Galahad. You know each other very, very well. And everyone was potentially looking at that as being the big British super fight in 2022. Do you allow yourself to even think that? Or do you think, no, I've got my own work to do. Let's not get complacent here. How does your brain work when you see a knockout like that?
No, the money don't even come into my mind. I'm sure that the last thing Barry's thinking about, he'd be thinking, he might be slightly embarrassed. He might be thinking how fast he wants to bounce back, you know. He's going to feel like he lost to someone that he can beat very easily. And that's probably where, where the problem came. For me, I don't really think about that. All I focus on is my next job in hand and the number one spot, which at the minute is Navarrete. And it has been for a year or two now. So, you know, I'm focusing on the number one long term, and I'm focused on my next fight in hand short term.
Brilliant stuff. And that is exactly the right attitude. But as Barry said to me on Sunday, Lee, I don't know if you heard that bit, he wants the rematch as soon as possible. He's very confident. He's devastated, of course, as you all are when you lose. You're devastated. It's like a grieving process, weirdly, isn't it? And he said, yeah, I'm prepared to go anywhere, which means he's dealt with it mentally. Like, if he has to go to Spain to fight, so be it. He'll go to Spain to fight. He knows he can beat Kiko Martinez, I think. It's not like he got beaten up for several rounds. He got knocked out, as you say, by Kiko setting up a big right hand. They'd clearly worked on it in training camp. They'd seen a gap in the door there, hadn't they? As you say, he tried it six times and he knew it could come. And with someone like Kiko Martinez, we've seen him. We know he had six world title fights where he didn't win at featherweight. But the guy has a physicality, a hard head, and a tenacity that you cannot take away. You guys are unique in that way. Let me ask you, how excited are you to fight Michael Conlon? This is a big fight. It could end up in Madison Square Garden.
It's massive. It's a big fight. I'm extremely excited. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to prove myself yet again, because obviously I've still got critics. As I probably will for my whole career, when you've had two defeats, you know, you're always going to have critics, and you're always going to get wrote off. And that's probably a blessing for me in my career going forward. But like I said to a few people today, this is a big fight. Mm. But I come to this fight and I'm in a super fight. And that's my motivation.
Yeah. How close is it all to being decided? We don't know the where yet, do we? We know it's happening. Do we have a date and do we have a where?
Well, we're looking around March time. We're aiming for March time. It all depends on my shoulder, you know. I recently had an operation on my shoulder. 5 weeks tomorrow it is to the bottom. Aiming for March. I'm on track. Everything's going well. As long as I start punching around mid-December, that's with force and with weights perfectly, then we're on track. Destination-wise, you know, I would love it in Nottingham. I feel like I deserve a homecoming. Four titles, whatever it is, since I've boxed in Nottingham. You know, I've built up a bigger following, and I feel like they deserve a big night in Nottingham. The city needs it. But if I have to go to Madison Square Garden, which it looks like another front runner, then so be it. And hopefully that will set up a homecoming fight for myself in the summer. Either either.
I love, Lee, when you say, you know, get through this one, then a super fight. I think this is a super fight, if I'm honest with you. I think it really is a big fight between the two of you. You're fantastic. He, you know, he sells himself as well. He's fantastic. Your story is incredible. So is his. And for me, that's kind of what makes a super fight. Lee, has there been any word at all what's going on with the WBA situation? I thoroughly think you're the world champion. I'm not having this Leo Santa Cruz nonsense. You're the man in the division. What's going on?
That's it. I mean, it's just the politics side of things. I don't even think, like, even my British title fight, I take the money out of the equation. I take the belt out of the equation. And I focus on my opponent. You know, that's my job. And then you look at his record, you look what he's done. And that legitimizes the fight for me. But yeah, the politics side of things, I'm regular champion, if you want to say so.
No, you're not.
For 3 years, he's not boxed at the weight. He's boxed at the weight above and been beat. You know, it is a bit farcical, but hopefully, you know, I think he needs to fight in December or they're going to strip him. Whether they upgrade me or not, or put it on the line for the Conlon fight, either. Or some miracle he boxes at featherweight in December, which I can't see happening, then the winner of his will fight him next. So either, I'm just happy to be getting the situation sorted, because there shouldn't be that many belts in the way. It's just a joke. In not just talking about WBA, WBC do franchise champions, silver. Like, they need to sort it out. There should be one belt, and hopefully now we're on the right path to sorting it out.
Lee, how involved are you? I love the idea of it being in Nottingham, by the way, because we know what it's going to be like. Going back to the days of, presumably, is it the Ice Arena or Ice Arena? Yeah, going back to the days, I went there many times with Carl Froch. He fought there several times. Nottingham's a fight town as well. You can't park around there when there's an event on. It's so hard to get to. It's always packed. It's a raucous crowd. I'm sure you've got a massive following that want to come there. The whole of Gedling Village will be coming as well. Do you get very involved in that? Are you involved in pushing that being in Nottingham rather than it being taken to Madison Square Garden?
I'm doing what I can. I'm pushing what I can. I'm just getting everyone involved. I'm trying to use my following and the people of Nottingham to get behind it. And because the more demand there is, like anything in the world, if there's demand, it's going to happen. But I think the time of year, because the Ice Arena is just not big enough. I think it's 9,000 to the rafters. If you look at Madison Square Garden, it's 20,000. So that's revenue wise. You know, it's been big. It's a big purse bid what they put in. They've got to get some money back. So it's arena's probably not big enough. The City Ground, which is obviously my dream fight, it has been for a long time, would make the numbers work. But the time of year, I don't know. It's outside for the football. It's only a few more hours. I don't see why they can't. But, it's not down to me. It's not even down to Eddie. Eddie said, look, it's down to the broadcasters. They're sat on the fence because of the time zones, being in America, the biggest audience in the UK. So that's in my favour to get over here. So it's down to the broadcasters, and I just can't wait to see which way it's going to happen. I just want to get my mind set on where it's going to be.
Wait.
Lee, final question. And look, really appreciate you coming on. Thank you very, very much. I know you just got out of the gym as well. What a time to be a featherweight, not just in this country, but in the world. I mean, you look at some of the names that are floating around, and again, going back to that super fight conversation, they're all super fights, aren't they? I mean, Kid Galahad, if he gets his belt back, Josh Warrington, Gary Russell Jr. and only fights once a year, but Gary Russell, you've got Ray Vargas that's come up from Super Bantam, Navarrete. I mean, it's ridiculous. Literally, there are so many fights out there for you in 2022. Big, big fights as well.
And look, I'm just happy to be a part of it. There's some great names. Obviously, my close friend Jordan Gill is fighting for the European title.
Yeah.
Basically, there's Isaac Lowe fighting for the final eliminator for Barry's belt. So the winner of them will have to face them pretty much. Well, if he wins his final eliminator, he's got a final eliminator. So the winner of them will have to fight them pretty quick. It's great. Like I said, Gary Russell Jr. with the WBC, if he's still got it, he's been a bit inactive. It's great. It's great. I'm glad to be a part of it. And just boxing. Boxing's booming as well. There's so many promoters. And it's just great for it's a fighter's market. Mm. So all these fighting against each other, which means bigger purses for us, more opportunities for us, all these stadium fights, it's crazy. And, I kind of feel like it's felt right, and I'm just happy to be a part of it, because 3 years ago, I think it was, I was scratching around, I couldn't get a fight, I was boxing on in Bingham Leisure Centre, and I really wanted a title fight, and I was going home, I was crying myself to sleep sometimes, and I'm just happy to be here. I'm going to make the most of it.
Yeah, you certainly are. I saw the bling bling on Saturday as well, so you're not crying to sleep anymore. Lee, really appreciate it coming on, my man. Thank you very, very much. Lee Wood, WBA featherweight champion there. Big fight coming up against Michael Condon. We don't know where and when yet, but it is coming up. So it's a good fight to look forward to in 2022. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. And that was looking ahead to the big fights this weekend. Thanks to DAZN. Remember, your boxing, your way, game change. Next, we're going to be talking to Liam Williams out of his big fight, and that's against Chris Eubank Jr.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/acast. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And look at that! What has needed, and Liam Williams has indeed knocked him out, and the fight is all over. And Williams is going looking for him right here, right now, and he's down for a second time. Left hand puts him down on the seat of his pants, and what a performance from Liam Williams.
You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2 with myself, Andy Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. We go from one big guest to another big guest who's got a very big fight coming up at the Motorpoint Arena in Cardiff, Liam Williams versus Chris Eubank Jr. You know it's a big fight because you always wait for the reaction on social media when these fights get announced, and you're thinking, oh, what's the reaction? Everyone, thumbs up. Everyone. I didn't see one negative comment about this fight, and I can't wait for it. I like it as well because Sky is going head-to-head with DAZN. Obviously, DAZN have got Ben versus Algeria on the same day. Yeah. I really can't say which one I'm going to watch, can I? I can't really say it. Let's welcome in Liam Williams now. Liam, really appreciate you coming on. I know you're having your dinner, aren't you? So you're doing this, two things at once you're doing right now, yeah?
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to make a bit of time for you guys, so
top man, Liam. Top man. You know what makes me laugh, Liam, about this fight? I remember when Chris Eubank Jr. did an interview, he might have been with Trish Dixon, about a couple of years ago, maybe even less than that. And I remember Tris asking about you, like, what about Liam Williams? And Chris Eubank Jr.'s first words were, who? Don't know him. Never heard of him. Like, yeah. You know. And all of a sudden now, it's one of the biggest fights we can make domestically. That shows, I guess, your growth as well. Even though you're coming off a loss, it shows the growth that you've had in your sport, I think.
Yeah, of course, mate. But that's just Chris Eubank for you. He does them kind of things for clout and just to make himself feel better or look better, whatever it may be. But we shared some rounds together going back, like, it must have been as long as 8 years ago. So he definitely knows who I am, and he has done for a long time. It's just, as I said, that's the way he goes about his business, and that's up to him.
What do you make of him as a fighter? There's been a lot of people that are like, you know, when he stepped up, especially the George Groves one, he's lost, and some people think of him as a bit one-dimensional, although obviously, you know, when he puts his hands together, I think he is a class operator. What do you make of him as a fighter?
You know, in terms of a fighter, I haven't got a great deal of bad to say about him. I just think I think he is a good fighter. He has got a lot of strengths. He's very fit. He puts his punches together very well. He's always in fantastic shape and whatnot, so I think it's not going to be an easy fight, put it that way. But there are definitely things I picked up on which I feel like I can exploit, and that would be the beginning of them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just about to say to you, Liam, that styles make fights always, don't they? And we're expecting an absolute thriller in this. He's a tenacious fighter. He likes to come forward. He's caught between styles a little bit at the moment with what we've seen anyway in the last couple of performances where he's trying to finesse Roy Jones Jr. aspect into his game. Are you expecting him to draw him out of that and get him into a war, into a dogfight that will suit you?
To be honest with you, I think once the going gets tough for him, I think it's going to be a case of you'll always kind of revert back to what you know, because you can't, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And Chris Eubank's 32 now, so my thought is he really going to be able to just switch? You know, it's not going to be easy. I'm 29, and I don't think I could go and somebody just turn me into a master boxer and, you know, technician or whatnot. You're always going to go back to what you know and what you're best at. So I just think after he might try and do that for a few rounds, but then I think he will go back to his old self.
Liam, obviously last fight against Demetrius Andrade, obviously unlucky in that fight. You caused him some problems later on in the rounds. I think you probably watched it back and realised that as well. What have you taken from that defeat? I mean, does that Does a defeat like that make you know, especially the performance in the second half of the fight, does it make you know that that's where you belong and that's where you're going to go back to if you beat Chris? Do you take some positives from it?
Yeah, definitely there's positives to take away from it. You know, I've showed that I'm a world-level operator. You know, I competed with one of the best in the sport. I pushed him for 12 rounds, so I know I've got a good 12 rounds in the tank, you know, and more. I had more to go. So I just kind of wish I put my foot on the gas a bit sooner in that fight. But, you know, hindsight's a beautiful thing, and it's pointless going back over it. Oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. I didn't.
Yeah.
And it's simple as that. It's pointless crying over spilt milk. I didn't do it, and that's that. So I just need to swallow it now, don't I? And do you know what? I've gained a lot of experience from it, but it's not about that right now. It's about me moving forward and taking positives from it. So I'm really looking forward to this next one and showing what I've got, you know?
Liam, it's going to be coming up to Christmas time when the fight takes place December the 11th, Motorpoint Arena, Cardiff. I have been there so many times. Gavin Reese, Enzo Macronelli, Joe Calzaghe, Nathan Cleverley. It's going to be an amazing night for you with the whole of the Valleys coming up to Cardiff, isn't it? Isn't that going to feel a bit special as well?
Unbelievable, mate. It's always something I've loved doing is fighting in Wales, fighting in Cardiff. It's amazing, but to be headlining, you know, against another big name as well, you know, it's a big fight. Something people have been waiting on for a long time. So it's really, really exciting. And yeah, you know, I've boxed on undercards in the Motorpoint Arena before, and it's been unbelievable. I believe the place is pretty much sold out already. I've sold probably 1,500 tickets in the last 48 hours.
Wow!
Personally, from my back, you know, back in Wales, my parents. So I don't think there's many tickets left at all. Everybody's crying out for them, and my phone hasn't stopped ringing. But I'm done with all that now. It's about me beating Chris Eubank and forget selling tickets.
Yeah. I've got tingles, Addy, thinking about what the atmosphere is going to be like in the arena on the night now. And I know you're someone, I'm sure you are someone that gets something extra out of you when there's that kind of atmosphere.
Oh yeah, 100%. You know, for sure, there's no questions asked. I think walking out to all them people in Cardiff is going to be tingling thinking about it. It's going to be a special night, and my main job is just to go there and give everybody what they want, but mainly come away with that win and, you know, push on in my career.
It all starts tomorrow, doesn't it? I mean, obviously, preparations have already started. You're deep in camp, and no doubt you're getting pushed through your paces. But you see him tomorrow, don't you? It's the first press conference. You're going to see him. There probably will be a head-to-head. There's going to be a face-off. You know he's going to be there chirping at you as well. Are you excited? Are you one of those fighters that really like press conferences, or is it just a case of just ticking a box and we move on, we just go back to camp and get the training finished?
Yes, you know, so it's always, it's not so much the press conference itself, which I get excited by. You know, once you have that first press conference, for me, then the fight becomes real. You've had the face off, you've had, you know, this, we've been head to head, we're speaking about it, it's happening. A lot of the fights happen anyway. I can imagine you understand what I'm saying.
Mm.
You know, it all becomes real then once you've had the face off and stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know how it's gonna go, but you know, I'm keeping an open mind. I'm ready for anything. If he wants to stick it on me, then I'll be ready to go.
Well, I don't know if Addy's going, but I'm going to be there tomorrow. I cannot wait for this.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a good day. I believe you're going to do a gloves or off as well. It's all part of it, and it's exciting and makes it for a bigger fight.
Yeah, it should be a great one. Really appreciate you coming on, Liam. It will be an exciting press conference as well. It really will be between those two. Great fight as well. And happy that Liam gets the headline in Cardiff. Should be a great atmosphere at the Motorpoint. Always is. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 in partnership with DAZN. Remember, it's your boxing, your way, DAZN game change. Next, we're going to turn our attention to the world of MMA, and we're going to look ahead to a huge fight this one, Terence Crawford versus Sean Porter. Good Good evening, you are listening to Final Extra here on TalkSport 2. Myself, Andy Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis as well. All right, as we wrap the show, loads to talk about from the world of MMA. We are going to touch on Terence Crawford versus Sean Porter this weekend as well. Massive fight, that one, for the WBO welterweight title. Terence Crawford's been begging for one of you, like, the A-listers in the welterweight division. He gets one in Sean Porter, who we know always comes to fight. But, Gareth, I want to first talk about MMA in particular. Let's focus on Leon Edwards. Unfortunately, that fight that we wanted, and it should have been a great fight as well, against Jorge Masvidal, is off. Leon Edwards has tweeted out pretty much saying that he's going to, not in so many words, sit it out now and wait for the Usman fight, which will probably be sometime around April or May. I asked you at the top, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm going to ask you again, should he not face a top 10 guy? He was going to face Khamzat twice. Khamzat's been asking and begging for the opportunity. Does he roll the dice with someone like that, or does he sit it out? Because we know Dana doesn't really like fighters sitting it out, does he?
No, he doesn't. He likes them to be ready, as he says, time and time again. Look, for me, he deserves that. He's, with six dropouts against him in the last 12 months, I think he's in a position of strength in that sense, Addy, that they will look kindly on him. I think Leon Edwards and Jorge Masvidal was a big earner for them. And I think it's a travesty that obviously it didn't take place. And it's wrong in many ways. And I think Leon Edwards needs an opportunity. He's not been treated. He's the ugly stepsister, in a sense, isn't he, of the division?
Yeah.
He hasn't got the fight that he truly deserved. He never wants to sit it out. He's not that kind of guy. But you never know when the UFC or their matchmakers are going to throw you a curveball. And they may say, as you mentioned just now, that he has to fight as Chimaev. It's a brilliant matchup again. But that kid looks like a future world champion. And, you know, at times, Leon's an unfashionable guy. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if the UFC did throw him under the bus. But it'd be totally unjust.
You know, when you say the ugly stepsister, let's open this conversation a bit wider. We understand, and I think Kobe's a good example of it, someone that, you know, wasn't really getting much love from the UFC, completely switched his persona and became this, you know, Donald Trump loving hat wearing, you know, he done that. We've seen Khamzat, who all of a sudden is going, and it's probably not him, I don't know, but he's very vocal on social media. Jorge Masvidal turned into Street Jesus. Everyone's got this persona, right? Apart from Leon. Should Leon, and I get it, fight is just fight. But you know there's a bit more that into this game than just doing that. Should Leon not have maybe tried to switch up the personality just a little bit?
Well, he could do, but it's not natural for him. He's a very quiet, very kind of brooding kind of fighter of Jamaican heritage, isn't he? We know the backstory of himself and his brother Fabian, who fights in Bellator, of course. And that they grew up in a single shack in Jamaica. Very tough upbringing until they were little kids and came over to the UK. And it's in his culture not to be very outward in that way. If someone else gets hold of his social media and they promote it in a way that an agent does or an agency does or someone that's very clever with it. Malky Carl was very clever. And the Carl brothers have been very clever with Masvidal, with John Jones, in pushing the guys out there and saying, look, be like this, be like that, respond when you have to. I was speaking to Michaela Mayer, the female boxer who won just a few weeks ago or a few days ago, and she has these little spurts on there, and it's almost like an alter ego. And some people can develop that. Look at Conor McGregor. He's outstanding at it. Look at Floyd Mayweather. They've made millions and millions by being like that, by cultivating this kind of alter ego that is believable. James Gallagher does it in Bellator as well. So much so that when I was with James Krause last week, his new trainer, he said, I was wondering about taking him on because I've seen what he's like out there on social media. I wasn't sure whether he'd be a learner or not. But I said, when I met him, I realized he was totally different. And it is a mirage. It's an illusion. But it all comes down, to answer your question, whether Leon is comfortable doing that. And I don't think he is, you know.
Maybe he isn't. Two people that certainly are Chael Sonnen and Conor McGregor, right? Two of the best speakers we've ever seen in MMA. Honestly, both of them are fantastic. They've had a bit of a war of words. Conor's always ready to kind of throw down the battle of anyone that wants to go back and forth with him. What do you make of it? Look, it's not going to lead to anything, but it's interesting to see two of the best trash talkers in the world going at each other.
Yeah, it's Twitter trash talk, isn't it? Instagram trash talk, and it's highly entertaining for that genre, isn't it? You know, it's highly entertaining when people are on their journey home or they've got 5 minutes break at work and they're having their coffee and they're having a little giggle over it. It's nothing more than a giggle. Chael Sonnen's a much, much bigger human being than Conor McGregor. They're both, you know, they've got incredible wit. You know, the thing is with Conor McGregor, he's so clever in these moments. He always has le mot juste. It's like he's swallowed the Blarney Stone at times with the way he's able to go out there and project himself. Chael Sonnen's a very good friend of mine. Chael's probably sending him up more than anything because he's a little bit bored. But yeah, we make nothing of it. I cannot see those two. Hang on a minute. I'm going to pause there. Yes, maybe those two will fight one day in a celebrity matchup because you actually just don't know anymore, Eddie.
Yeah. You never know in the crazy world of MMA or boxing nowadays. Let's talk about a real fight, a fight that will happen this weekend, Crawford versus Porter, a dog fight, right? This one should be a bit special. I say that, but I do think we're going to see a bit special from Terence Crawford, who's been waiting for one of the big boys, begging for one of those guys to cross the street and fight him. Finally, Sean Porter says, I will do. And I think he's going to put on a showcase of a performance there. I really do. And I expect Sean Porter, this might, big words here, but I expect Sean Porter to get stopped late. I'm saying that, I'm putting it out there.
I'm not sure about that. I see where you're coming from. They're both 34. You look at Sean Porter's resume.
Incredible.
He's fought better opponents over a longer period of time than Terence Crawford. And I know Crawford's, what is he, three or four in the Ring Magazine pound for pound rankings, one of, i.e., if you're listening, the third or fourth best all-round boxer in the world at the moment.
Mm. Still surprises me that.
But he's come up three weight divisions. Welterweight, 147 pounds isn't his natural weight. Sean Porter, apart from the defeat to Keith Thurman, very close loss to Kell Brook, the Sheffield fighter, 6-7 years ago. And I think all his losses have been very close, apart from Thurman was brilliant that night. I think this is going to be a much closer fight than we think. I do think that Crawford will win out on points, but it's the last four rounds of the fight and the two championship rounds that it may come down to. Look, Porter's rough, yep. Tough, can brawl, can fight, can box. Crawford loves to switch. Natural southpaw. Mm. It's just an extraordinary elite matchup. They will never be better than they are right now. Undefeated Crawford, 37-0. It's one of those special fights. I ain't going to be sleeping on Saturday night.
No, you're right. It's absolutely fantastic. And I guess with Errol Spence now back in training after his eye injury, I mean, you're hoping, and I'm probably dreaming here with the way boxing works, but now we've seen a fighter over from across the street fight one fighter from across the street. You're hoping if he does come through, Errol in the summer, please. Give us Errol in the summer. That's all I ask for. Gareth, it's been fantastic. It's been a really good special show. Thanks to Liam Williams and thanks to Lee Wood as well. Good luck to both of those guys and big fights coming up for Liam Williams against Chris Eubank Jr., Lee Wood against Michael Conlon. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.